Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. In tonight's encore presentation from 2015, Selena discussed ways of celebrating pagan dimensions of Irish culture by exploring the myths and magic of leprechauns, fairies, shamrocks, and the wearing of the green.
Welcome to Nature Magic. This is Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuary. And every Tuesday night, we have two Circle Sanctuary podcasts. Nature Magic, which I facilitate, and then Circle Talk, which follows. So I invite you to join me for Nature Magic tonight as we take a look at Irish folk magic. And I invite you to stay tuned for Circle Talk with David and Jeanette Ewing, who will be talking about Ostara. So I invite you to take this journey on what I like to call Irish Culture Day, but what many people call St. Patrick's Day. I invite you to celebrate the magic of old Ireland as we explore symbols and lore and some ways of making magic in some old ways and some new ways. I honor my Irish ancestors and invite them to join in. I call into our evening tonight the she, the trooping fairies, the leprechauns, the magical people, the little people. I call into our time together the fairy folk and the ancient ones of old Ireland, gods and goddesses, and nature spirits of many type. Take a journey with me. Find a comfortable place to sit. If you are able to close your eyes, do so, or otherwise, let this be a kind of tale for you. We take a journey together to Ireland. We journey forth to a high hill, the place known as the Hill of Tara, an ancient sacred site. As we are there, we experience ourselves standing in one of the circles, the earthworks atop the hill. And we call to be present the ancient ones who are rooted in this land. Pay attention in the next few moments of quiet. What you experience as you connect with this sacred place in this sacred aisle. And now emerging before you is a beautiful golden cauldron. And as you approach and you look into the golden cauldron, you see that it's filled with golden coins. You stand before the cauldron, and the magic of this golden vessel and its golden contents flows into you in the form of golden light. Imagine yourself radiating, being surrounded by this wonderful golden light. And call to mind some aspect of your life, your way of being, that you would like greater prosperity. Make a wish as you connect with this sacred place, this sacred symbol, this sacred color, this sacred metal. So be it. You give thanks, and a mist forms, and you experience yourself lifting up with the ability to fly, and you journey across the land to another ancient sacred site. You have come to New Grange, a great mound, a place that is linked with the sun, and some say also with the moon. You stand before this great mound, and you see before you spirals carved on stone. Go to the spiral. Reach out your hands. Experience the power of this place, the power of this symbol. And call into yourself the power of well-being, of renewal, of healing, of wellness. Spend a few moments and be one with this place. And now pay attention to what message comes to you about something that you can do in day-to-day life to enhance your own well-being. Imagine yourself doing it. And then give thanks to the sacred spiral, to the sacred mound. And a magical mist rises up again, and you experience yourself rising up and once again flying across the land, and you go to a third magical site. And this magical site is a place known as Kildare. Kildare, the place sacred to the ancient Irish goddess, and later also known as Celtic Saint Brigid. You come to a great oak tree, and you stand under the oak, placing your hands on the oak, feeling the strength and the power of the oak. And above you is the sun, shining bright. You feel at one. And before you appears a bubbling spring, a sacred water now taking the form of a sacred well. It's Bridget's well. And you go before the well, and you gaze into the water, and you call for a vision to aid you in your spiritual life. Pay attention to what you experience. And you give thanks. And as you do, a beautiful goddess form rises up from the well and stands before you. It's Bridget of the Sacred Waters. She who inspires, she who transforms, she who heals. She who helps in many ways. You give thanks to Bridget and to her sacred symbols and this sacred place. And a mist forms once again around you. And you return to your here and now, carrying with you the memories of Tara, the cauldron of gold and prosperity. Your memories of Newgrange and its spirals and its healing, renewal, well-being, and your memories of the sacred oak, the sacred sun, the holy well, visions, guidance for spiritual life, and your connection with Brigid, Bridget, Bride. We give thanks for our experiences. We give thanks for our connections with the old ones. We give thanks to Ireland as a place, physical and imaginal. We give thanks to pagan Irish culture. May it continue to live within us, within our world, and continue to work its wonderful magic for individuals and families, for communities and groups, now and in the times to come. So mote it be. So one way of doing Irish folk magic is to take journeys, to take imaginary journeys, ones guided by others, ones guided by ourselves, listening to Irish folk music to set the mood, to journey through sound, to work with sacred images, to work with sacred sites and our imaginary encounters with sacred sites. Irish folk magic is ancient, and it is contemporary, and it's likely to continue to be part of some humans' experiences here on planet Earth well into times to come. I'd like to share with you some characters of Irish folk magic lore that you may wish to work with in your own imagination. You may wish to explore as part of educational learning. Many people think about leprechauns when they think about Ireland. What is a leprechaun but a old Irish nature spirit, I would call him, and also known as the little people. Some call leprechauns a type of fairy. Often leprechauns are depicted as little old men, often wearing some kind of coat, usually a hat. The clothing style often goes back to the 1700s, 1800s, often a black band around a green hat with a big gold buckle. Sometimes there's a coat of green. Sometimes there's a vest of red. Often buckles on black shoes. And a leprechaun has taken many different forms. We know that they go back in tales that have come down to us at least since the Middle Ages. And there was something called The Adventure of Fergus, Son of Letty. And leprechauns appeared there. The poet from Ireland, William Butler Yeats, was really big on fairy folklore. And in fact, many people who were from old Ireland that did writings and poetry would draw on old folklore from Ireland. Some say that the trooping fairies of old Ireland were the ones that were dressed completely in green. And some fairies, like the leprechaun, would be have some red on. Some pagans today will use each of those colors in connection with their honoring of Irish traditions. In addition to the leprechaun, there's a whole variety of other kinds of fairy folk. One I'd like to share with you is something known as the Banshee. Now, the Banshee sometimes gets a mixed reputation because of association with appearances prior to a death or at the time of death. A banshee may make a howling sound as an omen. And you'll also find that banshees are in literature. And one of the things that I have learned in checking out the banshee lore, as well as some of the lore of the Celtic goddess Bridget, is the use of keening, which is a kind of wailing to help in grieving the dead. And that is a way of helping to release, and I've used it in a variety of ways. At Samhain, which happens late October, early November in the Northern Hemisphere, we as a community will connect with that banshee kind of howl, that keening. Some say that Bridget was supposedly the one that started the keening. But we have found it to be a powerful way to grieve our dead, and when done in community, it allows those people who have deep grief that are having a hard time releasing it to actually have that community support and to do release with that. Some other folk characters that you could weave into your own kind of folk magic is that of the mermaids. And mermaids, usually female, but not necessarily all of these half fish, half humans would be female, but that's female ones are the ones that most people are familiar with. Often in Celtic lore, they are seen with long flowing hair, the top half of the body being female, human-like, the bottom part in fish with a fish tail, and the mermaids holding a comb as well as a mirror. And some of the old carvings in Ireland and some other places will have mermaids. Related to this are the Silkies, which can change shape. And one of the real powerful things about working with shape changers as part of one's lore work as well as imagery work is the transformation is very much kind of woven into the mix. Some say that the Silky lore are really seals, the Silky seals, and that there were a number of creatures in old Irish and Scottish as well. You know, Scotland is said to have been settled by people from Ireland, so you'll see a lot of shared lore. But the Silkies were seals, and they had a skin, and they can go into the water in the seal form, but moving the skin away, one turns into a woman. So there's numerous tales about these silkies. And there's been, sometimes they're known as mermaid wives in some of the tales. And all sorts of magical creatures have been part of Irish folklore over time. I also need to talk about the swans and the swan maidens. And indeed, swans were linked with Bridget and one of the forms that she would take. In looking at these creatures and some of the traditions, certainly spinning a tale is a great way to spend time with others, but one can actually do a journey and encounter these creatures through the imaginal realm to connect and to see what messages one can receive about the ancient ways of being and the making of magic. Certainly before doing any type of on your own imaginal work, it is good to come up with a way to center yourself, to clear the space where you are, and to have a means of return, and to follow that up with writing down your encounters, messages that you have received. I'd like to share a bit now about some Irish symbols that you may find helpful in your magic. One of them was in the meditation that I began the evening with, the cauldron. And the cauldron sometimes takes the form of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and that leprechaun's guard said pot of gold. Well, that pot of gold is often a kind of cauldron. I mean, there were ancient Celtic cauldrons that have survived to contemporary times, and then there's the cauldrons of the mind. So one of the things that you can use for with cauldrons is to get an actual cauldron. It doesn't have to be of gold. You know, cast iron will work. Some people like to use copper as part of their magic, and to have a cauldron that serves as a cauldron of plenty. To keep that on one's altar, to put a symbol within the cauldron of plenty. It could be a coin, or it could be some paper money. And then to also put in the cauldron a written request. It could be on a piece of 3x5 card or a piece of paper, and to set that in the cauldron atop the symbol of plenty. And some like also to put in some type of sacred stone. I like quartz crystals, clear quartz crystals, for this kind of work. So a cauldron can be used as a way of calling forth plenty, prosperity to self. Another use of cauldron would be for inspiration. And one might use a cauldron in one's home. If one has a place where one does creative work, may take the cauldron there, may fill it with water, take the cauldron with water out under the full moon light to energize it, or for those more inclined to solar work, have it out under the midday sun, and then to have that cauldron as a symbol of inspiration. Depending on the substance of the cauldron and what that might interact with, fluids that are put in, you very well may want to dip your hands into the cauldron and anoint your brow as you prepare to do meditative work or inspirational work. Or you may use that cauldron in the form of scrying. Cauldrons can really be used for each of the elements. A cauldron can be used with earth, filled literally with earth, and flowers can be grown, herbs or other vegetation could be grown out of an earth cauldron. It can be a kind of planter of sorts. A cauldron can be used for incense. In this case, you'd put some kind of substance in the base of a metal cauldron, and it could be sand, for example, and then to kindle incense atop it, and then use that incense to bless a space, to scry into the smoke. A fire cauldron would have a candle that's kindled within the cauldron, or some type of flammable liquid that can be safely burned where your cauldron is. Some people who aren't able to use actual living flames will use some battery-operated candles instead. A fire cauldron can be used for transformation. One may burn petitions in it. One may jump the cauldron as a way of jumping the fire on sacred occasions, such as at Beltane and Samhain. And then, of course, there's the water cauldron that can be used for scrying or for nurturing. I also see the cauldron as a kind of spirit cauldron, a cauldron that can be seen as a cauldron that brings all the elements together, the earth, the physical, the air, the mental, the fire, the energetic, the water, the emotional, all together in the center for spiritual work. So cauldrons have been part of Irish folk magic in many different forms. Another charm that is used in connection with spiritual practice and blessing the home comes right out of Irish folklore, and that is the Bridget's Cross. The Bridget's Cross can take a number of different forms. It can be made of different materials. The form I'm most used to is the four-spoke form, but it also can have three spokes. The four-spoke form is very much connected with not only the four directions, but is seen as a kind of sun wheel. Bridget is a sun goddess, and it makes sense that a Bridget cross, which is a kind of solar cross, would be a symbol. What to do with a Bridget's cross for folk magic? Most people know it as a symbol that can be put above a doorway as part of home blessing, or it might be put on a wall in a home. It can be crafted from wood. The most common form is to be made from rushes. woven. But you can make it from a variety of materials. Often at our InBulk, Bridget's time, beginning of February, we will have Bridget cross making. And indeed, I know some people who take that occasion to make a new Bridget's cross, and they take the Bridget's cross from the previous year and will kindle it in the fire and they put up a new one. Other people have the tradition of making additional Bridget crosses and gifting them to people. And not only making them at Bridget's time, but at other times as needed, can be a wonderful health blessing gift. But one of the things that I've found really wonderful about a Bridget's cross is it can be used as a kind of wand. One can hold one of the spokes in the Bridget solar cross wheel and move it around clockwise to cast a circle. It can be used to energize an object like a wand would be used. It can be used to help focus through meditation, so it can be used as a kind of mandala, and it can be used to energize something. The number four is important, and some Irish lore, the number three also is important. The shamrock is an old symbol that continues on today, and it's used in many different ways. It's used in pop culture, it's used in art, and some people will make mint green shakes at milkshakes at this time of year, and the green connected with Ireland, which is sometimes known as the Emerald Isle. And yes, there is a fairy color dimension to it. There's also the wearing of the green, which some say has its roots in imitating the renewal of life at the springtime. Some call shamrock a sprig of a kind of clover. I have also seen it connected in America with wood sorrel. Some say that the shamrock was something that Patrick used to explain the Trinity during Christian times, but most sources that I have encountered really look at that shamrock as predating St. Patrick and Christianity, that it actually has a long history of lore. Some would take in a field clover that might be called shamrock, and to really energize oneself and be strong. Some would use the shamrock as a symbol of good luck. There's some pagans today that say that the shamrock is representing the triple goddess. So there's a rich lore for the shamrock and the number three. And many people will find that to strengthen a wish, a spell, an affirmation, that one will speak it three times. And that's been something that you'll find across different traditions, but especially in Irish folk magic. There are other aspects of Irish folk magic. And part of this goes into honoring the little people with offerings. So a way to do an offering, some will take porridge or some kind of soup and put it in a bowl and place it outside. Some will take some kind of a cake as a way of paying respects to the spirits of nature, appeasing the little ones who can be mischievous at from time to time. Telling tales, singing songs, dancing, all of these are important traditions that go back in time, working with land in a sacred way. If one has Irish ancestors, being able to go back and not only learn their names, but when possible, learn a bit about their lives and, in particular, what part of Ireland they were from. Did the family have particular symbols or lore? What does the family surname have connected with it? And there's many people who are now interested in exploring ancestral roots, and the internet can be a great source of information in doing this kind of research. Another aspect of Irish folk magic is the shillelagh. Now, these are a kind of wooden walking stick. Some would say they're actually a club or a cudgel. They typically are stout. They're kind of knotty, and there's some kind of handle or big knob at the top. One of the traditional woods would be blackthorn. Some will make shillelaghs out of oak, another sacred wood. Sometimes leprechauns and other mythic figures are depicted as having these shillelaghs. And they were used in fighting, but now in contemporary times, shillelaghs may be used as a kind of wand or staff in terms of magic work. And one may use it in house blessing by propping it next to a door or in a corner of the home. The rainbow that's associated with leprechauns and pots of gold. Rainbow, symbol of hope across a number of different traditions. There's something very magical about a rainbow. And yes, I enjoy seeing them in actuality as well as doing some imagination journeys with them. The light of the sun interacts with the spectrum of light and water droplets, and sun coming out as it's continuing to rain or there's much moisture in the air, to see a beautiful rainbow is a special thing, a magical thing. One of the things that some use the rainbow for as a kind of bridge, a pathway into another world. And so certainly as part of one doing magical work, envisioning rainbow is can be quite uplifting. I'd like to in this last portion, do another short meditation, a way of working with Irish symbols in lore to enrich one's creativity of journeying inward, and to bring a bit of magic into one's life. So in the next few moments of quiet, if you are able to do so, I invite you to center yourself once again. And imagine that you are in a sacred circle of stones, and in the center of this sacred circle is a sacred fire. You stand before the fire and gaze into the flames. And an image comes to you that you can use to aid you in enhancing creativity. And you celebrate that sacred fire. And as you stretch your hands to it, magical flames of fire jump into your hands and from your hands into your head. The fire of creativity, the fire in the head. And now you go walking clockwise around the sacred circle, and then finding a place to sit, closing your eyes. And now hearing the sounds of a harp, a magical harp, and as you listen to the harp, you sense a magical being approaching. And as you open your eyes, a leprechaun is standing there before you. Holding a shamrock. And as you gaze at the leprechaun and the shamrock, a message comes to you a way to work with the power of three in some aspect of your spiritual life. Give thanks to the leprechaun and to the shamrock. You find in your hands a gift of gold to present to the leprechaun. And as you do, you experience yourself deepening your connection with magic. And as you close your eyes, you carry within you the image of the circle, the image of the fire, the image of the leprechaun, the image of the shamrock, the sounds of the sacred harp. Envision green, a beautiful, bright, life-supporting green. And in the next few moments of quiet, silently put forth a wish for the planet, some aspect of planet Earth, planet as a whole. Let the power of green magic flow through you to go to that greater circle of nature of which we're part, on planet Earth. And now imagine yourself being part of a great network of others that do folk magic, that do Irish folk magic. Think of those from the past, those in the present day, and those who are yet to come. In the eternal now, we celebrate our connection with Ireland. In the eternal now, we celebrate our connection with folk. In the eternal now, we celebrate our connection with magic. And may we carry from this time together our memories of experiences we had, ideas of information that's been exchanged, and a zest to explore more long after our time together concludes. Wishing you all a happy Irish Culture Day. So mote it be.
There's countless legends in Celtic mythology about the fairies.
They're here.
I think there are some among us tonight.
I rest my case.
Quick, get me a fly swatter. That's great.
Countless legends, Celtic mythology about fairies.
They are, of course, not the happy Tinkerbells that we know in American media. No, they are a darkly mischievous force. This is Finian's Dance.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.